Hello, and welcome to the Anti-Fragile Tarot podcast. This is your resident card slinger, Susanna, here with another episode for your mid-month podcast update. So I wasn't really sure what to do this episode on because I had a few ideas that I was floating around. A bit of housekeeping. We have rebranded our shop to the Anti-Curiosity Shop because I am Anti-Fragile Tarot. And my business partner is Antisocial Jewelry. So now that we're not an oddity shop, we still carry the same things, but now we get to have a little bit of a broader example of what we might carry, because oddities is a rather specific moniker. And it's funny that I should have that slip up, because the topic I decided to go with for today's podcast episode is witching under the influence, or using consciousness-altering methods in your witchcraft and divination. I figured this would be an interesting episode to do, partly because I knew I'd be having a couple of drinks after my latest exam, but also because this is a really popular topic in the magic and witchcraft worlds. As in anything, you're going to get a range of people and their beliefs and experiences with this. You're going to get people who think it's the best possible way to do this. You'll get people who think that you should never, ever do this. And you'll get people who are somewhere in between, and they may have a varying strength of opinion about what the best way to go about it is. So by tarotting or witching under the influence, I mean taking any kind of medication or otherwise altering your consciousness to further your experience. One very popular version of this is by using what's called entheogens. Generally, if someone is using the term entheogen, they specifically mean a psychedelic drug like mushrooms or LSD to potentiate a more visceral, I guess, spiritual reaction. Disclaimer, I have not witched under the influence with any drugs that would be considered illegal. I have no moral judgment on this, but not only am I saying that from a place of experience, but because I don't want to misrepresent my own experience, and B, I don't want to claim to speak for anyone who has had these experiences. And C, I definitely don't want this podcast to be taken as suggesting or condoning anyone doing anything that would be illegal in their state or due to their age or anything like that. So I suppose this episode is really intended to just be an overview. I really don't have any particular feelings one way or the other about this, as we'll get into. So I like to call, I have a deck that I like to bring with me whenever I travel. And I could call it a travel deck, but I like to personally call it a bar deck, because one of my favorite things to do is when, I go out, which isn't that often, given that I am a broke student, but when I do, I absolutely love to give readings for either my friends or bartenders or both. I love having a deck of cards on me, and not just because I'm a professional and, it's a good way to get my name out there, but because it's fun to do. It's fun to be able to have that experience, and different altered states can bring about different interpretations or ideas. I love to do this as a social thing, although I don't really charge for readings if I'm out drinking socially. If I'm at an event or I'm in my shop, I'll often have a drink or two, but I'm too busy talking to sit there sipping something. I'm certainly not going to get absolutely drunk while I'm able to read for people. If I have a line out the door or down the hallway, depending on where I am, I can't precisely sit there and sip, 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 let alone get up and get myself a drink. That's not even an option at a certain point in most events that I do. But it's a nice thing to do. And if I'm at home, if I'm working on readings, I'll often have a glass of wine or two. You know, again, I mentioned other people like to do things such as magic mushrooms or LSD. But there's a lot of other altered states that we can talk about when we are discussing doing any kind of magic under the influence. And not all of those are substance related. You know, I know a lot of people who are working on their sobriety right now, people who don't do various drugs for one reason or another. And if that reason is simply that they're illegal, that's totally cool. That reason could also be that they've had bad experiences or don't want to risk having a reaction like I seem to be to something on my wrist right now. Pardon me. See, that's the only really difficult thing about witching under the influence. And I'm hamming it up a little bit because I had two glasses of wine and then a lot of Indian food. But you might get a little bit off topic if you are hanging out and drinking and doing your witchy stuff. You might want to consider your own limits. But to get back to what I was saying, not all of this has to be substance related by a long shot. Other forms of consciousness altering that have a long and documented history in occult literature include fasting, sleep deprivation, and exercise is something a lot of us use these days. Grant Morrison, in his now quasi-famous discussion on sigils, his pop magic discussion, has talked about how to activate sigils, and in doing so, he specifically mentioned exercise and orgasm. Sex is another consciousness-altering act that you can engage in, whether with a partner or by yourself, although sex magic seems like a topic I should potentially reserve for a Patreon-only episode, given that I do try to keep my podcast PG or PG-13. So if I really want to get into that, that might be a patron-only exclusive if anyone is so interested. But it's also not my forte, so I don't know how comfortable I would be doing a whole episode on it. Regardless, there are a lot of different ways to alter your own consciousness to affect a change, whether that's releasing your inhibitions or expanding your mind or narrowing your focus, or in the case of sigils, you know, just activating something. I don't think that consciousness altering is specifically necessary. Oh, something else that's been going around as far as getting into an altered state or a state of gnosis. You know, traditions where music and rhythm is super important, particularly out of Caribbean traditions. Getting in dancing, like the Sufi whirling dervishes or the Mevlevi order, dancing, rhythmic drumming, using music. There's a lot of different ways you can alter your consciousness. So don't be fooled into thinking it has to be entheogenic or it has to be alcohol or you have to damage your body with sleep deprivation or fasting. There's a lot of different ways you can get yourself into a different state of mind. And part of that can even be something as simple as dress. You know, thinking about why we have certain outfits or uniforms or costumes that can put us in a different state of mind. And having ritual clothes might be part of that. So, you know, there's a lot of ways you can alter your mindset to work magic. And I'm all for incorporating magic into your everyday, doing it where you're at, being who you are at all times with it. But there's definitely something to be said for getting outside of your own head, getting outside of yourself and your own comfort zone with using methods like these to change where you're at. Something to think about is, are you old enough to be doing what you're doing? If you're under 21 in the States, or where, you know, whatever the age is, wherever you're at, don't drink to the point of being drunk, and don't drink, period. Unless, you know, your parents are around and are, you know, encouraging you to try something, or it's part of your religious services. I'm glad that my parents didn't demonize alcohol to me, and we were Jewish, so there was wine at our major holidays and minor holidays, although we didn't really observe Shabbos very often. But, you know, don't do something that's illegal or dangerous to you. And there are reasons that, you know, younger people shouldn't be drinking mass quantities of alcohol, your brain isn't fully developed, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that said, just be responsible. Don't get yourself in trouble, whether or not it's legal or illegal. Just be careful. And, you know, if you're sick or you have other reasons why you need to refrain from doing this, you don't have to use any substances, and you shouldn't necessarily do something like sleep deprivation or fasting. Again, unless you're doing a particular ritual that calls for a particular thing, then you probably need to work within that paradigm for it. If your ritual calls for fasting, you probably shouldn't decide just not to. You may instead find a different ritual that doesn't require you to fast and has a similar outcome. You know, these rituals are designed with specific modalities in mind. I mean, most of the time, I'm sure you can find a million rituals and spells that are just thrown together with no actual backing behind them. But, you know, I'm assuming that you've done your diligence and you found something and you're trying to make that work, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, with changing your mindset for this, again, make sure that you're already healthy, you're in the right frame of mind, you're not further stressing your body, that it's the right fit for the practice that you're doing. You know, if a ritual calls for fasting, you can't just go get drunk. And, oh, it's also an altered state of mind. Yes, but no, it's completely different. Or if a ritual calls for getting drunk and you decide that you're just going to eat a lot of sugar instead, that's also probably not helpful. And also your pancreas might hate you. So be careful. You know, it's a cool thing to play with, but it's not the be all end all in magic. And there's a lot of other ways to affect potent magical workings other than literally playing with your brain chemistry. Again, I'm not personally pro or against this. This is something that I occasionally use in my own work. I've definitely gone running to activate sigils, or, you know, had alcohol while doing readings to facilitate that. But it's not something that I think is strictly necessary to a practice. You know, again, if it works for you, that's great. Entheogens in particular seem to be really, really powerful. You know, there's starting to be studies on microdosing LSD or using ayahuasca or DMT. And those are therapeutic modalities that have been used in non-Western cultures. I don't have a great frame of reference myself, so I'm not going to dig very deep into them, only to say that there is some literature on those subjects should you choose to look into them yourself. Again, I would just, as with any research that I recommend that you do, exercise good critical thinking skills, take a look at where you're getting your info, if it's, you know, some brightly colored personal blog on the internet, it's not necessarily a reliable resource. It doesn't mean that it's not an anecdote you should take into consideration, but that's not the same as any kind of scientific corroboration. It's not the same as a more structured study or assessment. If you know someone who either facilitates these things in real life or does them frequently themselves or both, you know, talk to them. See how they approach it, what they have to say about it. See if they're just trying to get you to buy something from them, because that's always a really bad sign when assessing the validity of a source. You know, someone or something who's providing you information shouldn't necessarily be selling you stuff. You know, they might say, hey, I can help this if you want to try, but it's different than saying, oh my God, this is the most important thing. And, you know, if you don't do this, you don't know what you're doing, and you're never going to blah, 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 blah. And you know, you have to get this for me right now. I can get this for you for blah, blah, blah. That kind of urgency to make you do something, particularly if it benefits them at all, is really suspect. So be careful. I'm not trying to say that's everybody at all. I'm just giving you something to look out for, particularly with things like this. So yeah, that's my take on it. You know, again, as I mentioned, in the magical community, we're people, right? So you're going to get a wide range of people. I guess perhaps a slightly different mix than you would get in the general population, because there seem to be some things that we all kind of go through at higher rates in the general population due to a variety of factors. But you're going to meet people who have very intolerant views on altered states of consciousness, especially substance-related ones. You know, something else I do want to point out here, nothing I have said in this podcast is meant to replace any kind of medical advice. Please don't go messing around with various drugs without talking to a doctor about it, or if you have pre-existing conditions. And if you are someone who takes drugs that some take recreationally, but you take them for your normal daily functioning, this podcast is not about you and your habits and, you know, anyone who does try to, or I guess I shouldn't say habits, you and your needs, anyone who tries to, you know, give you any kind of flack for it because of any kind of magical or witchy or occult reason, really has no business doing so, because they're not a medical professional, and moreover, they're not your medical professional, and they don't know what you need personally. So, again, this podcast is really, really just about doing these things recreationally, for the sake of magical purposes, not for your daily functioning. That's completely different. And quite frankly, not the scope of this podcast or my role here. But I did want to put that out there, just because I don't want anyone to think that I'm talking about that. But yeah, so, you know, again, you're going to meet people who are really pushy about using altered states of consciousness and think it's the only way. And you're going to get people who think that you should absolutely never and are really judgmental to those who do. I would advise you to be less judgmental if you can. Personally, we all have different perspectives on this. And as long as someone isn't pushing you to do something specific, I don't see any reason to, you know, get on someone's case about how they're working their craft, because we all have come from different perspectives at this. That being said, you know, find out what works for you. It might work for you, it might not, and, you know, see how it goes. Don't think that it has to be one way or the other, and don't think that there's something wrong with you if you decide that you'd rather have a couple beers and keep your witchcraft separate from it. And don't think there's anything wrong with you if you try entheogens and find that it opens up a whole new world for you. Just again, try to remember that that's not something that's possible or feasible or desirable for others. So I wish you luck wherever you are on your journey. Sorry for keeping this episode a little bit short. It was just something I kind of wanted to touch on, even though I don't have a lot of personal experience with it outside of drunk gnosis. Gnosis, by the way, spelled Gnosis, if you would like to look up the term. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate all the feedback. Another thing I wanted to say is that I know I said I would do the Lenormand episode in November, and there's still a chance that I'll do it for my second episode in November, but I would really like some more time with the system so I can make sure that I'm doing it right for you, because I really want to deliver you a quality podcast and good take on this system before I, start spouting off about things I don't know about at all. So bear with me. Again, thank you for being listeners. To those who are my Patreon supporters, thank you so much. I hope to see you in the Discord. Let me know what you thought about this episode. If you'd like to be a patron, you can find me as Antifragile Tarot on Patreon. Your contributions keep this podcast going because I do pay for hosting. As little as $1 a month gets you entry into the Discord. $5 a month or more gets you monthly tarot card readings, which are occasionally other things, like November will be Lenormand. I occasionally do other kinds of readings, like oracle deck readings, but 10 out of 12 months of the year, it's probably tarot. And if you have a strong preference for only ever getting tarot, just let me know. You'll get a warning before I do anything that's not tarot, because I try to be what I advertise. If you decide that you don't want to be a patron or you just don't have it in you to do monthly donations, please consider ordering from my Etsy or stopping by my store if you're local. We are at 304 Newark Avenue. You can pop by my Instagram, Antifragile Tarot, and I post there. I'm also doing a really cool event next Thursday if you are local to the Jersey City area at Liberty Science Center. It is for their Liberty Science Center After Dark events, and it is a monster masquerade. So come dressed up. I'll be there reading cards. There will be drinks with liquid nitrogen in them. So you'll have some cool fog effects happening. I will probably have a wine or two myself, but those events are super busy, so I don't usually get much time to drink more than two over the course of 5 hours, which is probably for the best because I had two over the course of an hour and a half and I got rather tipsy today. All right, thank you again for listening. I hope you have a witchy and or wonderful couple of weeks, and I will see you November 1st. Probably with an episode on kitchen witchcraft, but if you have something that you absolutely must hear about, email me. If I don't get to it in November, I'll get to it later. Thank you again. Goodbye.